tragedy has sparked a push for stricter gun control regulations on Capitol Hill, Democratic Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey.
It seems to me that the teachers and the school principal were willing to take on the gunmen. It seems to me that the Congress of the United States should take on these guns as well.
The NRA is planning a press conference to address the shootings on Friday. Criticism is being launched at the State Department over its handling of the deadly September assault on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. An independent inquiry slams the department for lacking seasoned security personnel in Libya and relying on what it calls untested local militias. This is NBC News Radio. It's being called Plan B. House Republicans are planning a vote to avert the fiscal cliff that raises tax rates for those making more than $1 million a year. NBC's Tracy Potts says ahead of Thursday's vote are protests.
Some now in Washington urging Congress to act. Compromise seemed likely 24 hours ago, now elusive as Republicans push a vote that's not expected to ever reach the president's desk.
The GOP proposal would likely die in the Democrat-controlled Senate. A new poll shows people are uneasy about the economy if lawmakers don't take action to avert the fiscal cliff. The CBS News poll indicates 9 in 10 Americans expect some kind of economic problem. NBC's The Voice has crowned a new winner for its third season.
The winner of season 3 of The Voice is...
Cassidy Pope was country singer Blake Shelton's protege. I'm Mara Schiavocampo, NBC News Radio.
Ugh. Hey, give me a hand with this giant slingshot, sweetie.
Okay, Mom, but what's it
for me to get to?
Sears!
Bring me something bad!
Whatever it takes, get the Sears biggest one-day sale of the year this Saturday with Friday Preview. Find great gift deals like up to 50% off all tool storage, up to 70% off all diamonds, and 60% off coats, sweaters, and sleepwear for the family. This is how to gift. This is Sears. Exclusive apply. See store for details. Tool storage savings range 5 to 50% and 12/22/12.
If you needed a brain transplant, would you go to the second best brain surgeon? No, you'd go with number one. Well, it's exactly the same with Printer Ink. Yeah, sort of. See, Staples is the number one ink retailer in America. And right now, get a $15 iTunes gift card instantly when you spend $75 or more on ink at Staples. It's a no-brainer. Staples, that was easy.
In-store only, ends 12/24/12. Gift cards not returnable. Returned ink refund amount reduced by gift card value. Excludes F's and inks, subject to availability while supplies last. No rain checks, limit to Apple not participating in or sponsoring promotion.
2 years ago, Facebook co-founder Mark Zuckerberg signed the Giving Pledge. It was a public commitment to give away half of his wealth or more during his lifetime or upon his death. On his Facebook page, he now says he and his wife, Priscilla Chan, have donated 18 million of his shares in Facebook to the Silicon Valley Community Foundation. That's about $500 million. This month, the CEO of Time Warner Cable warned that because of escalating programming costs, it would have to begin dropping some channels. That process has begun. Time Warner Cable says the end of the year will spell the end for the Ovation Network on its service. Other cable channels also likely on the way out soon. Three former execs at TheStreet.com have settled allegations of accounting fraud with the SEC. They've been accused of cutting and pasting pieces of documents together to create the appearance of rising profits. Although The Street was chaired by cable personality Jim Cramer during the period investigators say this was going on, he was not named in the suit. S&P futures up 2. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to spend less time searching for new prospects for your business and more time selling? If you want to crush your sales quota for the end of this year and get a head start on 2013, then Hoover's has a special free offer just for you. Hoover's has the business contact names, business email addresses, and phone numbers to key decision makers at the companies you want most as clients. You can build a targeted B2B prospect list that will jumpstart your sales with just a few clicks. Hoover's is so confident you will be amazed at what this tool can do for your bottom line that they want to offer you 50 free B2B leads plus a 24-hour free trial. That's right. If you own or manage a business or sales team, get the competitive edge you need. Try it all for free. Just call 800-645-0338. That's 800-645-0338. Don't miss out. Call now. 800-645-0338. 800-645-0338.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 19th day of December 2012. We inch ever closer to the Christmas holiday, which we have not talked much about on this show, mostly because your host has not done any Christmas shopping yet. Well, that's not true. I did very little. So that's what my... that's what my Saturday will look like, I assure you. And I can hardly wait. I'm not a big fan of shopping. And in fact, I normally do it online, but because I've been preoccupied with other ventures the last 10 days or so, I have not even done that. So now it's too late to do my shopping online unless I want to pay an arm and a leg for shipping. And I don't want to do that. So it'll be this weekend for sure. I hope you're all well. On this Wednesday morning, we do have a great program lined up for you as we work through the last 3 days of the First Shift program. And listen, we just need to keep it all in perspective and everything will be fine. You know, you're always and I do appreciate those of you that have been reaching out to me, and you can continue to do that through this week and beyond. And I will do my best to stay in touch with everybody to keep you updated. With that said, today's program involves really an amazing variety of topics and guests, including Linda Teeter, who is no stranger to First Shift. She is the president of Michigan Citizens Action. She's here today to talk to us about the fiscal cliff from their perspective, more specifically Pentagon or military spending. And for those of you that have been paying attention, you know that if a deal is not reached by the end of the year, significant cuts to our defense budget. Really, what does all this mean? Well, we'll dive into it a little bit. State Representative Harvey Santana will join us this morning at 7:30. Certainly wanted to give him a chance to join us one last time before we signed off on Friday. He was interested in doing that, and so he'll be here at 7:35 to talk to you. Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor with the Detroit Free Press, is with us at 8 o'clock. As I'm sure many of you have heard by now, the governor vetoed Senate Bill 59, which was the gun bill. And, well, lots of interesting reaction, although I believe it was the Free Press, but it could have been the news and it could have been Gongwer or Mirrors. But one of them wrote that the sides is flipped. The liberals are celebrating the governor and conservatives are angry. Well, I don't know a single liberal that's celebrating the governor just because he did the right thing. And I don't know why it took him so long to do the right thing. I'll give him credit for doing the right thing by vetoing the bill, but I'm sorry, I'm not happy with this guy, and I'm not going to pretend I am. Lori Lamoran, the president And board chair of Planned Parent Advocates of Michigan and Planned Parenthood, indeed, will be with us in studio today at 8:35. Brandon Bushman joins us. He is a professor of communications and psychology at Ohio State University. And we are going to be talking about a topic that you've heard me express myself on over the last few days. And that is video games, violence. Are we desensitizing our children? Are we not doing a very good job of doing what? Policing our kids. You think you all know how I feel in that. So we'll get to that. And we'll round out the show with a great story, a charter school, Cesar Chavez Academy, is looking to affiliate with the American Federation of Teachers. That's right. A charter school is looking to unionize in this anti-union environment. We'll check in and see what that's all about. But we don't do anything till we do this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is reflection. Now, I want it to be more like a mirror reflection, not necessarily, you know, it's a reflection of the times or let me reflect on that. No. This is really about looking into a mirror and seeing what there is to see. How many of us even avoid mirrors? How many of us can't even take a look at ourselves for fear that we might, actually see what others do? You know, it's always been an interesting idea to me that we have a really difficult time assessing ourselves, although we are quick to judge others. It is not often that we look at our reflection in the mirror and say, yep, that's the real me, and this is what I need to deal with. Yep, even when you brush your teeth, perhaps when you shave your face or whatever other reasons you look in the mirror, are you really seeing what's there? Or are you just looking at that picture, staring back at you? Do you ever stop and wonder, what more can I be doing? What have I done wrong? What have I done right? It doesn't have to be negative, of course. But I'm afraid most of us don't. I'm afraid most of us don't look at our reflection and see anything but whatever the picture is and not what is truly inside what that picture represents. I'm not quite sure why that happens. I'm not a psychologist and I don't pretend to play one on the radio. But I do know this. Until we start taking an honest assessment of who we are, what we mean to do, what we are doing, what our intent is, and what we're avoiding, more importantly, we may never get to the root cause of why we do or, more importantly, don't do what we know is the right thing to do. That's okay. There's always time to change. But it starts by getting up in the morning, looking in that mirror, looking at that reflection, and being honest and having an honest assessment about what you see. I'm not saying you're not going to like it. I'm just saying it's time to start dealing with it. And the only way to deal with it is eyes wide open. Reflection is today's first word.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Talbot at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they try that way.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And alas, not much Detroit sports knowledge to drop at the water cooler. Good morning, Anthony. How you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing?
You know, it's Wednesday. We inch ever closer to Friday. I'm having a little trouble every passing day. It's getting a little more anxiety-filled for me. I'm sure I'm going to be fine, but it's just weird to see it coming to an end. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, this week's flying by, too.
Yeah, it sure is. In the world of sports, I think Michigan State won last night, correct?
Yep, they beat Bowling Green.
Fairly handily, is my understanding.
Yeah, it's Bowling Green. I mean, I don't know anything about their basketball team, but, I mean, they're the MAC school. It's Bowling Green. you know, they beat them.
They beat them, and beat them indeed. And beyond that, there's really nothing going on. This is crazy. I mean, it's not, and it seems like it can't just be the lack of hockey because, honestly, there are lots of days off between hockey games. Well, there used to be. I did hear yesterday that they're now looking at a 48-game regular season, and that made me chuckle when I heard that, 48 games. I don't know. I just can't. They're not meeting. How are they going to settle this if they're not even talking to each other?
I don't know. Where are these numbers coming from? Like, if they're not talking, who's releasing information?
That's a great question. I have no idea. It's asinine. It's absolutely asinine, but it is what it is. I was watching one, I think it was the Detroit game, and there was a kid holding a sign that said, "I miss hockey." I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I forgot what game that was, but I seen that.
That was the Lions game. It was.
You're right. Yep.
Yeah. So, it's just that's it. That's all there is. You know, we don't even need two whole minutes for sports these days. Because that's all that's going on. So, thank you for your service to the program, and I guess we'll talk tomorrow.
Well, let's hope so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I do hope so. All right, let's get it set up. Obviously, we're open lines. Those of you that have not heard yet, Governor Rick Snyder. And I got to snap out of it. I'm not even that tired this morning, but it's like my brain is moving at half speed. I got to get going here. I got to get kickstarted. Governor Rick Snyder has appointed a financial review team for the city of Detroit. Is it inevitable that they will have an emergency financial manager? Well, it looks inevitable at this point. And I know, based on the interaction we get from this audience, that you folks are not going to be happy about that, especially those that live in the city of Detroit. Well, it looks like it's coming like a freight train, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any chance to jump out of the way at this point. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I'll wait to hear from you. Obviously, lots of other interesting things going on, including a letter I received from a brother of mine in the Teamsters, a union brother of mine in the Teamsters movement, that I want to share with you. It's well worth me reading it, although it's a bit lengthy. I think you'll find it fascinating. Anyway, you know the number, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org and on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. Let's take a quick break here. First Shift gets it in gear right after this.
Hi, everyone. This is Harvey Santana, state representative. I want to wish you and your families a happy holiday season. I want to let you know how much I love you, care for you, and how hard we're working for you in Lansing to get our government back to work.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
Taking a look at your roads, as of now, everything's looking smooth. We have one road closure due to road construction. Cecil Ave, both northbound and southbound at I-94, and that's scheduled to be closed until mid-January. Other than that, you have nothing to worry about so far this morning. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
You love that one-of-a-kind taste of Honey Baked ham, but have you tasted our turkey breast? With a new recipe and the sweet, crunchy glaze you love, our Honey Baked turkey breast could be the beginning of a brand new holiday tradition. For coupons and to find a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 44. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 45. And it's currently 39 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift
Weather. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back to 22 minutes after 6 o'clock, 888-552-3595. Let me read this letter. It says, Dear Tony, I was intrigued by the so-called right-to-work press release of Rick Snyder, governor of the state of Michigan, as he seemingly attempted to mask the underlying objective to weaken and eventually eliminate unions by issuing the following statement. This is about giving the workers the freedom to choose whether their resources go to a union or not. Governor Snyder then went on to say, quote, I actually don't view this as anti-union because it really gives unions the opportunity to better present their value case. And if people see value, they should join. If they don't, why should their resources go there? Governor Snyder then went on to say that he has hoped to, quote, emulate the experience of Indiana, which has seen an expansion of new jobs since the institution of right-to-work laws. Tony, someone should sit the governor down or get him on the phone or interview him in some manner to have a very frank discussion with him and thereupon use his very words against him in order to show him and everyone else just how extremely confused he is about the right-to-work bill he has just signed, i.e., he says in one breath that he doesn't view this as anti-union and advocates the value of union membership. But seconds later, in the very next breath, he states that he hopes to emulate the experience of Indiana. This extremely contradictory statement of Governor Snyder really makes no sense at all because it contains two diametrically opposed beliefs, which stated together in the manner in which he has done cannot stand, and we should pound away and advertise upon this and call the governor on the carpet on this in order to contest what the governor has said with his very own words. He goes on the one hand, Governor Snyder states that he believes advocates and professionals and professes that the citizens of Michigan should by all means join and belong to the unions if they think it makes sense to do so. However, this is in direct opposition to his very next statement, which he also advocates as his hope or his theory of emulating the Indiana experience. The statement from the governor is in conflict with itself because the only way the Indiana experience works is, again, in the governor's own words, i.e. not belonging to a union via right-to-work laws. If the governor would just take a brief moment to reflect upon what he has just said, he would easily realize and recognize that the union is not unlike the state of Michigan, in which he governs. The union mirrors the state in that it does not represent individuals, but represents and protects the rights of all of the people. That is why the Constitution addresses we the people and not you the individual, the very same as the union engages in what is defined as collective bargaining and not individual bargaining. It is safe to say that we all, and I think that's a great point, by the way, it is safe to say that we all recognize the state of Michigan must rely upon tax revenues from its citizens to remain competitive, viable, strong as a state, and therefore, it should be it shouldn't be too difficult for the governor to understand that the union is no different, as in like manner, it must rely upon revenue from union dues to remain competitive, viable, and strong as a labor organization. I'll make a point about that in just a minute. In this regard, surely the governor would absolutely not support allowing the citizens to enjoy the services and benefits of the state, but at the same time, giving the citizens the freedom to choose whether or not their revenues go to the state to pay for such services, because I am sure he would clearly say this would be anti-government position. The same as his actions now are clearly anti-union. Someone should seriously consider turning the tables on the governor by using his very own words against him as follows. The only way his so-called Indiana theory works for Michigan is by engaging an anti-union campaign designed to weaken and eventually eliminate the union influence. He can't have it both ways. By saying it in the very same breath, that he also advocates for full union value. If the governor is this confused, to say something like this is to the populace in a press release, a position in which he doesn't make any sense because it is so very conflicting and divided, then he isn't qualified to be governor and shouldn't be allowed to sign any bills. So I don't think you're getting much of an argument out of me on that. I don't really, this is almost over. I really don't believe that an expansion of new jobs in Michigan serves the interest of Michigan or Michigan workers unless Governor Snyder is seeking jobs that are extremely lacking when it comes to wages, benefits, and working conditions. There is no question that we can expand business in Michigan if we allow the governor to weaken and ultimately eliminate union influence. The problem, however, clearly outweighs the benefit. If those jobs will be substandard jobs requiring the Michigan workers to work long and hard for low wages, poor working conditions, and substandard benefits, while CEOs and management as a whole prosper off the hardship of labor. One of the great American presidents, Abraham Lincoln, once said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. I think this would also apply to the issue at hand, since the right-to-work bill signed last week by Governor Snyder has not been voted upon by the people of the great state of Michigan, and also given the fact that the governor, as reflected and exhibited by his above quotation, is extremely divided against himself on where he stands on the position. If the governor truthfully believes the bill that he just signed is not anti-union, as he disingenuously stated, then how in the world can he suggest that union influence is unattractive to business expansion? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So, as you see, I think we have caught him in a pickle, so to speak, with his own words. And that comes from Karakian, who is the general chairman of the BLET-GTW GCA division of the Teamsters, the railroad division of the Teamsters. All right, John, first of all, a brilliant. And see, sometimes it's just the simplest stuff. Using his own words against him. And it's a simple statement. And this wasn't about an elongated speech. This was about a simple paragraph where in one breath he says it's not anti-union, and in the other breath he says, no, it's because of unions that we're not seeing business growth. Well, you can't, right, have it both ways. There's no question that's true. I read an interesting article this morning. Actually, it was an op-ed piece. It wasn't an article. that said the reason the governor caved into the Republicans, legislative Republicans, and the right-to-work advocates in the state of Michigan is because he felt threatened by them. That they probably said, you either give us this or we're not going to give you anything. Governor Snyder also said yesterday that he's going to make his intentions known this year, next year, in 2013, whether or not he plans to run for re-election. Well, let's make it simple. Announce all you want, Governor, and we actually do hope you run. Makes it that much easier to defeat a Republican going into 2014. Much more to get to on the other side. 888-552-3595. What is on your mind? Give me a call. And a good Wednesday morning to you. First Shift continues. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Taking a look at your roads. As of now, everything's looking smooth. We have one road closure due to road construction. Cecil Ave, both northbound and southbound at I-94, and that's scheduled to be closed until mid-January. Other than that, you have nothing to worry about so far this morning. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch cards to anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 44. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 45. And it's currently 39 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
It's not easy to get in the face of power and defy the conventional wisdom. You can quickly get to feeling like B.B. King when he sings, "Nobody loves me but my mother, and she could be jiving too." Thomas Mann and Norman Ornstein know that lonely feeling. This pair of think tank political pundits has long been popular on Washington's insider talk show circuit as cautious middle-of-the-road voices of conventional thinking. But then, they went rogue. Recently, Mann and Ornstein charged that the elite media deliberately failed to cover the biggest 2012 election story of all, namely that the Republican Party and its nominees were flagrantly running a campaign of lies. The duo was surprisingly blunt, noting that the GOP was not just practicing politics as usual with a fib here and a prevarication there, but an orchestrated strategy of dumping bald-faced fabrications wholesale on the voting public. "It's the great, unreported, big story of American politics," said Ornstein. While the Democrats, too, tossed out some falsehoods, there was no comparison between them and the Republicans' ideologically extreme perversion of, quote, facts, evidence, and science. Yet reporters and their bosses, fearful of being accused of taking sides, failed to make a distinction, which, after all, is their job. "They're so timid," Mann said, "and a timid press is a weak one." "You're failing in your fundamental responsibility," Ornstein said of them, asking the obvious question, "What are you there for? Your job is to report the truth." This is Jim Hightower saying, as their reward for daring to tell the truth about the media's abject failure, Mann and Ornstein have been blackballed. They're no longer invited to talk on the insider shows, nor have those shows even mentioned the media's pusillanimous role in abetting the big lies of 2012.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for
greatness.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock. It's a Wednesday morning at Hump Day. Wow, time is flying by. Let's go to the phones. You've got the number. Pete and Clausen joins us now. Pete, thanks for punching in this morning. Happy holidays to you. What's on your mind?
Hey, yeah, just wanted to talk about some just things and general viewpoints regarding the unions and where they stand now. And yesterday I did call in and talked about a lot of the fights that the unions have fought for are now into law as far as the 40-hour work week, the OSHA standards, the overtime, and now we have national health care. And like I said, there'll always be work to do, but it seems like they're losing their reason to fight. But I'm just wondering what your thought is on as they get into, I think where causes go wrong is they get blended and they get into other causes. If they left things as a black and white issue regarding just strictly labor and standards and fighting for people's individual right for a good job's wage, for a good job's day of work, and when they get into other issues, it really kind of makes things kind of gray. And so I'm wondering if, as well, for lack of better example, if they get the unions get involved in giving money to like Planned Parenthood and that.
Unions don't give money to Planned Parenthood.
Okay, they don't?
No.
Okay, indirectly or directly?
Well, maybe individual union members do, Pete. I'm sure they do.
Okay.
But I know, I mean, organized labor does not support Planned Parenthood in any significant way or any insignificant way for that matter.
Because in previous phone calls, I gave an example of a friend of mine who's a teacher who opted out of the teachers union a couple of years back strictly on the grounds of he's a religious objector. And that his money goes towards Planned Parenthood, and they let him do that on the grounds of that some of his union dues goes to Planned Parenthood.
That's just not true. And listen, he didn't need a justifiable reason to leave the union. It's totally voluntary, so he didn't have to have a quote unquote legitimate or illegitimate reason.
The cause
can be I just don't want to be in the union.
Okay. Well, I am getting my information secondhand, so I don't want to throw out any illegitimate information.
No, Pete, and I appreciate that. Listen, you and I have had lots of very respectful conversations. I do have to tell you that I fundamentally disagree with you that they muddy the waters by getting into areas outside of their quote-unquote expertise or niche. I don't believe the union movement serves society well or the middle class well by just sticking to labor issues, especially where you see, you know, human rights injustice. If there's an opportunity, go ahead.
Well, if they stuck to their foundational cause, for instance, I did look up on the website. I must have the wrong website or something, whatever it takes. And they seem to be involved in just a whole virtue of causes than reversing NAFTA.
Well, they discuss a lot of different things, but reversing NAFTA,
right.
Reversing NAFTA is their main focus.
So that kind of gets to my point of, you know, I have said at times in one of my first phone calls on the show is, you know, if you wipe away the social issues of the Tea Party and the Wall Street at their fundamental base, they have a lot more in common than they care to admit. And basically, at their root cause, much like a baseball team. When a baseball team or a sports team goes awry, you always go back to fundamentals. You know, when things go awry, you always go back to basics. And so with the Tea Party and Wall Street, they have a lot more in common than I think they care to admit, is that in the end, they both would agree that it's a rigged game. The Tea Party and the taxing of this country, it's rigged unless you're in the inside street, and in the Wall Street, unless you're on the inside track, it's all a rigged game. And so, but if you start rolling in all these social issues and stuff, things get gray and blurred. And if they just stuck to their core issues of what their cause or root cause is and stuck to that focus, I think they'd do a lot better.
All right. But Pete, here's my question to you. Do you believe that unions have gotten so far away from their core issues that they've diluted what it is they do well, which is to protect workers and do collective bargaining?
I don't think necessarily diluted, but they have gotten away from their root cause, protecting workers and a good wage. I think that as they get involved in other things, it does get away from that. You have to admit, the moment you interject any type of other social issue, and you can argue is you know, a solid day's wage for a solid day's work and social issue, you can debate that. But once you move away from that point, you cloud the message.
Well, and I think that's where, and Pete, thank you so much for your call. I appreciated the dialogue. And I think that's where you and I part company, because I think you can be different things to different constituencies, if you will. Organized labor knows the business side of collective bargaining and management better than you and I ever will. That they get involved in causes, I think, enhances them, strengthens them. And the reason, I just my opinion now, I think part of the reason that they do that is to keep their membership engaged. If all they were doing was collective bargaining, if all they were doing were grievances and arbitrations, and they do that, they do it extremely well, and they do it on a daily basis, are we really going to engage our membership? Is our membership going to say, well, that's my union, man, oh, man, they really know how to negotiate that contract? No, I think you have to appeal to all of the senses of an individual, the touch, taste, feel, emotion, the whole subset of what it means to be human and experience the human condition. So I think it actually enhances the union experience that they're involved in social causes. Many of the causes that unions are involved in actually go back to workers' rights. Or, you know, we've showcased on this very program union efforts to try to clean up work sites or to help communities that have seen an exponential increase in certain kinds of cancers. Because the corporate fathers and mothers and the boards of directors of corporations that pollute or tarnish the soil in a community or the air in a community, unions need to fight those fights. I've been involved in so many different things and going in so many different fights with in a positive way with the unions. Let me go back to the group that I belong to called Whatever It Takes. If all we did was discuss NAFTA, and that's not all we do, although that is our goal, is to try to find a way to reverse it, which may be an impossible goal. We've recognized that. We have a mission statement. We know what we stand for. That doesn't mean we don't benefit from having a discourse and a dialogue about other issues that matter greatly to the labor movement. There are many people inside organized labor that are very committed to the totality worldwide of what labor means. The Reverend D. Alexander Bullock was on this show just Friday talking about a group of GM workers from Colombia that literally have sewn their mouths shut in a hunger strike to protest the way they are treated in Colombia. So is that a social cause, or is that part of the union management the struggle? You can decide it on your own. And you said yourself, Pete, that it doesn't dilute what they do, but they need to get back to the fundamentals. I would agree with that if I didn't feel they were doing the fundamentals well. They are. They absolutely are. You know, let's also be mindful that union membership in this country has been radically decreased since Ronald Reagan busted the air traffic controllers back in the 80s. And as a result of that, we have seen a steady decline of union membership in this country. Now, we have a higher proportion of union membership percentage-wise in the state of Michigan than in most or if not all other states, but by virtue of our growing, once again, manufacturing class. So that would be why. So what are we really threatened by? Why do we really do right to work if union membership is actually decreasing? What's that really all about? So this idea, and that's a very separate thing from what I'm about to say, but this idea that unions should only stick to union business when the going gets tough, the union just should stick to union business, just doesn't set well with me, Pete. And again, you and I have had lots of respectful conversations, and I will assume that in the few days we have left, we'll continue to have them. But the bottom line here is that we need unions to do what nobody else seems to do, and that is to step up and make sure that all of society is protected. You know, we have this conversation a great deal on the program that unions bring up all of society, not just in wages and benefits, but in health and safety concerns. That includes issues of human rights and social justice. And I want unions there because they know how to fight. Just my take on it. You have a right to your opinion? That's mine. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. Much more to get to when First Shift continues. Please stay with us.
Here comes Santa Claus. This is Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, wishing all of the listeners of First Shift with Tony Trupiano a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like, or where you love, It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
On 1310 WDTW.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
All right, well, as we briefly mentioned at 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday show, Governor Rick Snyder did veto Senate Bill 59, which would have allowed for other things, the carrying of guns in schools, libraries, and churches. He did veto that. This audio is courtesy of WDIV, Channel 4 here in Detroit, and they just talk about the Snyder's veto. Here it goes.
Michigan's new gun law never stood a chance with the governor. Today we're learning that there was a behind-the-scenes battle in Lansing between the governor and the Senate. Today the governor put out this statement, quote, "Unfortunately, the bill did not allow public schools, public daycare centers, or public hospitals to prohibit persons from carrying concealed weapons on their premises. For that reason, I am vetoing Senate Bill 59, end quote. State Senator Mike Green, author of the bill, reacted.
Not angry at the governor, not angry at any person, angry with the system. Because you can get a good bill, and then at the last minute it can be killed. And it's not unusual. It happens all the time.
Still, the governor also decided in the wake of the Newtown massacre that he would completely review the state systems that could prevent another such incident. He ordered an evaluation of the systems for at-risk children, having all agencies involved look into early intervention for behavioral, emotional, and mental health issues across the state. He wants increased training to better identify at-risk youth. He wanted to increase mental health awareness and access to resources so that families who might have these kinds of children know where to go. He also asked the Michigan State Police to start looking at safe school plans for every school in Michigan.
Now, in many ways, they're lining up the people who were telling the governor that he needed to veto this, from senators right on down to local community people. They're very happy with what the governor has done tonight. But the governor's also made some other changes in the gun laws that may not be so popular.
Well, anyway, that's the beginning. Listen, the reaction on the Facebook page was... And by the way, our First Shift Facebook page poll question of the day today is, did the governor do the right thing by vetoing this bill? The reaction was not very kind to the governor, although people are happy he vetoed this bill. And, of course, it was the politically correct thing to do, or right thing to do. And he still did the right thing. Listen, there are lots of us that are just not happy with this guy and won't be for a long time. And just because he vetoes a piece of legislation that I think was pretty damned easy to veto, especially if he had already predetermined that he wasn't going to sign it. Why did he wait so long to veto it? Just a legitimate question. Anyway, Oklahoma Republican Congressman Mark McCullough was on a local Fox news show on KOKH in Oklahoma. And, well, he has a solution, and I wish that I were joking, but let's listen.
Representative Mark McCullough plans to file a bill that, if passed, would let some teachers carry a firearm in the classroom, and he thinks his plan could help prevent another tragedy.
And I was horrified by it.
People are still having a hard time coping with the tragic events that unfolded Friday in Newtown, Connecticut.
It's heartbreaking. It's sad. All the stuff that's happened.
Now an Oklahoma lawmaker has a plan that he thinks could help stop other school shootings.
The reality of the situation is that this man performed a great evil thing, and that could have been possibly prevented had we been prepared to meet force with force.
Right now, it's a felony to carry guns onto school property, but Representative Mark McCullough wants teachers and administrators to have the right to be armed.
And I'm going to err on the side of trusting my teachers to protect my children if, God forbid, it came down to that. I am not going to trust a madman.
I don't believe that's the answer. I really don't.
Some parents we spoke with disagree with the plan.
There's too many things can happen with a gun.
What do you want to say to parents who think it would be potentially dangerous to give guns to teachers in a classroom?
These teachers would be trained at the same level as our law enforcement are currently trained.
Under his plan, all teachers and administrators would have to get CLEAT certification before they can carry a firearm.
They would be trained in target acquisition, in marksmanship. They would be trained in all of the things that our current police officers are trained in.
But some parents are still not sold on the idea.
I'd have to ask, how are you going to screen the teachers? How are you going to know that you don't have a mentally ill person?
But Representative McCullough thinks this is the first step to stop another school tragedy.
I just feel compelled to bring forth some responsible solutions to prevent this from happening again.
So is that the answer? Let teachers pack heat. I don't know what to say to this. I truly don't know what to say to this except, what the hell are you thinking? Listen, we had a assault weapons ban in this country that expired. And as I shared with you on Monday, Senator Dianne Feinstein from California is going to reintroduce the ban on assault weapons in the Senate. Jay Carney, who is the spokesperson for President Obama in the White House, said that the president would support the assault weapons ban reinstatement. This is what he told Lawrence O'Donnell.
White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said for the first time that President Obama would support the assault weapons ban Senator Dianne Feinstein plans to introduce on the first day of the next Congress.
He is actively supportive of, for example, Senator Feinstein's stated intent to revive a piece of legislation that would reinstate the assault weapons ban. He supports and would support legislation that addresses the problem of the so-called gun show loophole. And there are other elements of gun law legislation, gun legislation that he could support. People have talked about high-capacity ammunition clips, for example, and that is something certainly that he would be interested in looking at.
After the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary, Rupert Murdoch tweeted, "When will politicians find courage to ban automatic weapons?" Today, the editors of Rupert Murdoch's conservative newspaper, The New York Post, write, "Weapons designed expressly to kill human beings and then modified, wink, wink, to meet the federal machine gun ban have no legitimate place in American society. Time to get rid of them."
Well, you know, no matter where you come down on this issue of Second Amendment rights, automatic, semi-automatic, rapid fire, ammunition, etc., etc. The bottom line is the way to protect our children in our schools is not to expand access to guns. Imagine in a more troubled school district, a teacher packing a weapon, how long before a student were to grab it and more unnecessary death. We're not thinking clearly as a country right now. Well, I don't know. That's not true. Democrats are. Republicans, not so much. Let's take a quick break. Linda Teeter with us on the other side of this break with Michigan's Citizens Action. Michigan Citizens Action. We'll talk to her about the fiscal cliff and Pentagon cuts and all kinds of things that really will affect all of us if we don't get a deal done pretty darn soon. Stay where you're at. NBC News at the top of the hour. I'm Tony Trupiano. First Shift continues after this quick top of the hour break.
And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
It looks like most people are taking their vacation early because there's absolutely nothing going on the roadways right now. No accidents to report, no backups. So for those of you who are going to work, well, at least you don't have to deal with the traffic this morning. My name's Tim, and that's your Total Traffic Update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 44. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 45. And it's currently 39 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. A groundswell for gun control in the aftermath of the Newtown massacre. NBC's Tom Costello.
The mayors of the nation's biggest cities issued an open letter calling on Congress and the president to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines and to strengthen the national background check system, eliminating gun show loopholes.
Meanwhile, there is sadness and determination in Newtown this morning as the community continues to come to grips with Friday's shooting. NBC's Jay Gray.
The long, slow procession of funerals continues later today in Newtown. Four more victims of the tragedy will be laid to rest, including teacher Victoria Soto, who gave her life trying to protect her students.
In Washington, lawmakers hear testimony about voting problems that left millions waiting in long lines to cast ballots in November. Wall Street's looking up, and the fiscal cliff gets the credit. The Dow starts the day up 115 on optimism that lawmakers and President Obama are finally making progress on averting automatic tax hikes. This is NBC News Radio. Both sides are giving a little, but NBC's Tracy Potts says major differences remain at those fiscal cliff talks.
Republicans are planning a vote as early as tomorrow to keep taxes low for everyone making under $1 million. President Obama offered a lower threshold, $400,000.
A salvo of criticism is being launched at the State Department over its handling of the September 11th assault on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
This independent review convened by Hillary Clinton on the terror attack is sharply critical of the State Department for, quote, systematic failures and grossly inadequate security to deal with the attack.
Another sign the housing industry is finally getting back on its feet. Confidence among home builders has hit the highest level since 2006. And don't tell the angry birds, but there are fewer video game players in America this year, down 5%. The good news, gamers? The mobile and digital sector is thriving. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Why is a Home Depot gift card the perfect stocking stuffer? Well, a new deck won't fit under the tree, at least not the Christmas tree. And a bathroom update is so hard to wrap. But choose any gift card from the Home Depot's creative collection, and it can be whatever any doer on your list wants it to be. Give the gift of doing this year with a little pocket-sized power. A gift card from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas can only take you so far. While a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate can go a little farther. When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate. Go a little farther.
Facebook co-founder Mark Zuckerberg is beefing up another job description on his resume, billionaire philanthropist. He has just donated 18 million Facebook shares worth $500 million to the charity Silicon Valley Community Foundation. This comes 2 years after Zuckerberg pledged $100 million to the group Startup Education, which improves schools in Newark, New Jersey. A major cable TV operator has dropped a channel, and this is not like recent situations in which companies drop channels over disputes, then restore them once the disputes are resolved. Time Warner Cable says the Ovation Network is gone from its lineup for good, and other channels soon may follow. This comes as Time Warner Cable's CEO says the cost to carry channels keeps rising, and some are just not making it any money. Wall Street could be on its way to making this week 3 for 3 in the win column, thanks in no small part to fiscal cliff deal hopes. Right now, S&P futures are gaining 3 points, NASDAQ futures rising 9. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to spend less time searching for new prospects for your business and more time selling? If you want to crush your sales quota for the end of this year and get a head start on 2013, then Hoover's has a special free offer just for you. Hoover's has the business contact names, business email addresses, and phone numbers to key decision makers at the companies you want most as clients. You can build a targeted B2B prospect list that will jumpstart your sales with just a few clicks. Hoover's is so confident you will be amazed at what this tool can do for your bottom line that they want to offer you 50 free B2B leads plus a 24-hour free trial. That's right. If you own or manage a business or sales team, get the competitive edge you need. Try it all for free. Just call 800-645-0338. That's 800-645-0338. Don't miss out. Call now. 800-645-0338. 800-645-0338.
Ugh. Hey, give me a hand with this giant slingshot, sweetie.
Okay, Mom, but what's it
for me to get to?
Beer!
Bring me something bad!
Whatever it takes, get to Sears' biggest one-day sale of the year this Saturday with Friday Preview. Find great gift deals like up to 50% off all tool storage, up to 70% off all diamonds, and 60% off coats, sweaters, and sleepwear for the family. This is how to gift. This is Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Tool storage savings range 5 to 50% and 12/22/12.
If you needed a brain transplant, would you go to the second best brain surgeon? No, you'd go with number one. Well, it's exactly the same with Printer Ink. Yeah, sort of. See, Staples is the number one ink retailer in America. And right now, get a $15 iTunes gift card instantly when you spend $75 or more on ink at Staples. It's a no-brainer. Staples, that was easy.
In-store only, ends 12/24/12. Gift cards not returnable. Returned ink refund amount reduced by gift card value. Excludes Epson inks, subject to availability while supplies last. No rain checks, limit to Apple not participating.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Triviano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Triviano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, December 19th, 2012. Well, yes, there's no question here in the state of Michigan. We have been quite preoccupied the last 2 weeks, especially the last 10 days, if not the last 7. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things happening around the country, especially in Washington, D.C., that we should be paying attention to. And I assure you we have. One of those things is called the fiscal cliff. We know enough about it. I don't need to re-explain it to you. And there's been some talk over the last couple of days that a compromise may be near. Now, I'll tell you honestly, the compromise isn't making either side happy. So maybe that is a compromise. Maybe that's exactly what we did need. But we do know that if something doesn't happen by the end of the year, everybody will be profoundly and negatively affected. But as we were learning over the last couple of days that some of the changes that have been proposed to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid will have a significant impact. And even if these compromises don't go through as billed, and they don't come to an agreement, well, the Pentagon budget will be severely impacted. That also means that our veterans and people that have served this country and continue to serve this country will be affected as well. Joining us now, as she has in the past, is Linda Teeter. Linda is the executive director of Michigan Citizen Action, and I welcome her back to First Shift. Linda, thanks so much for your time this morning and the happiest of the holiday season to you.
Well, thank you, Tony. I'm so glad to be on with you.
You know, I one day, Linda, we're actually going to come on and have all kinds of good news to share with the audience. I promise that'll happen at one time.
It will. And, you know, Tony, the reason that we're, as you talked about, talking about the Pentagon budget is, you know, the good news for us in Michigan is that we have two U.S. senators, Senator Levin and Senator Stabenow, who really have been taking a leadership role, talking about a balanced approach to this issue of the fiscal cliff. So that is really the good news for us here in Michigan.
Well, you know, it's important as we frame this, and I think that, you know, Linda, those of us that really spend a lot of time in study and thought and in contemplation, you know, we just had an interesting caller in the last hour that talked about maybe unions should stay out of socially conscious things or human rights campaigns and, you know, stick to what they do, which is, of course, collective bargaining, arbitration, grievance. All that being said, you know, we don't live in a society that's black and white only. We, you know, and we know that we have to do a much better job, especially of taking care of those who have defended our freedom these many years, Linda, and we need to be very, very careful that we don't allow this to become a politicized event. Now, it may be too late for the latter part of that statement, but that doesn't mean we can't turn this around.
Well, you're absolutely right, Tony, and there are a couple of things. The reason we're talking about the Pentagon budget, and, you know, as you talk about, well, how does that impact you at your kitchen table when you're looking at your budget? How can we think about the Pentagon budget and then our troops and military families and veterans? And there are two parts of that, and certainly Senator Levin knows that well, having served on this committee's, you know, armed services since the beginning of his career, about making sure that we do support our troops, military families. But that budget also has other pieces. That's defense contracts. That's, you know, other issues. And it does impact. If we don't have that on the table, then Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid become the places where then we go to look to how are we going to cut them.
You know, you had sent out a statement. I just want to read the beginning of it. The Pentagon ended 2000 or will end 2012 with more than $105 billion in taxpayer money just sitting in a bank account. Go on to say that imagine what that money could be used for here at home or for our troops and their families. I can stop it there, Linda. Imagine.
Well, there is so much within that Pentagon budget that needs to be looked at. It's half of the discretionary budget spending. Its budget has doubled in 10 years. This should not be a sacred cow, and that's why it does impact us in Michigan, and it impacts us in our daily lives.
You know, Linda, I have been covering veterans issues for almost 20 years now, and I have done more hours on the various programs that I've hosted over those 20 years, and I know that we still have a serious, serious lack of a plan to take care of those who, again, have gone on to follow where their commander-in-chief has asked them to go. Whether it's of their, you know, own vices or not, they go fight. Some of them come back imperfect. And here's what I know to be a fact, Linda Teeter, that as medical technology has changed, people are surviving in the war, horrific injuries that they would have never survived in the past. They are coming back less whole than they ever have. We don't have a plan to take care of these folks. We truly do not.
And Tony, you know, I want to be very clear. In our raising of the whole Pentagon budget, that we are not talking about not taking care of our troops, not supporting our military families, and I think there's much more we can do on that side, as you just talked about. But we also know that military contractors, make lots of money out of the Pentagon budget. And, you know, there were some Pentagon contractor executives that actually came forward last week, Honeywell and Raytheon Northrop Grumman, who said, you know, we really need to take a realistic view. We can acknowledge that. And that, you know, is a very good start, because we shouldn't have one budget that's so out of control when it's impacting other us in our daily lives.
Linda Teeter, again, my guest, the executive director of Michigan Citizen Action. I know that yesterday you had a series of press conferences all over the state raising these issues. I also want to be clear, Linda, you're not advocating for weakening our defense. Certainly you're not doing that. I think that everybody understands the importance of a strong defense. What we are advocating, though, is a form of perhaps responsibility we have never seen as it comes to the untouchable defense budget. We are no longer embroiled in multiple wars. Soon enough, we will be done with Afghanistan. We have people suffering here. We have certainly serious problems that we're not dealing with domestically. We need to start rebuilding the infrastructure. We need to place more money in public education. Well, I could go on the rest of the program, Linda.
Yes, we could.
You know, the bottom line is these are conversations we need to be having, and we need to be having them publicly, and we need to be having them honestly.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we talked yesterday about the need to transform this Pentagon budget from this outdated sort of bureaucratic model into something that more closely matches our high-tech military, you know, provides to keep our troops safe, allows us to serve our veterans, but that it can't be a sacred cow as it has been before. And frankly, I haven't seen anything that's come out yet from the, and I don't know if you have, from, you know, discussions that are happening now to get to an agreement that talks anything about this. We know that Senator Levin has indicated and advocating for a very serious look at this budget.
Now, Lynn, that's about all I've heard as well, Linda Teeter. So we know that, frankly, just not enough is being said, and certainly not enough is being done to look at this, what was once a sacred cow that should no longer be one. If they've got $105 billion sitting in the bank, if you will, folks, there's something seriously wrong. There's just something seriously wrong. Linda, you know, it seems to me that this is the perfect time of year to be having this conversation. As we get to the end of the year, as we look at resolutions, as we look at the reality of what's happening around us, to have, again, an open and honest discourse about how we can better serve one another, how we can better serve those that have sacrificed in the name of freedom. But we need to do more than talk, as you know. We need action. And I'm hoping that our lawmakers at the federal level will finally get off dead center and start having realistic discussions about what we need to do to fix what ails us.
Well, and we do too. And, you know, we've picked out this one piece, which is the Pentagon budget. And I want you to know that after we did put that advisory out, we did get some clarification from Senator Levin about that $105 billion. And it turns out that our conversations with Senator Levin, that's one place that we should not look at cutting that amount. And so we are clarifying that by saying what that is a good thing. So we've worked with Senator Levin, and I know that he's working each day on our behalf, as well as Senator Stabenow, to find those ways in that budget that we can reshape.
Absolutely. Linda, thank you so much for your time.
Yep.
We're going to keep an eye on this ball. Happy holidays to you.
You
Quick
too.
Break. We'll
Thanks,
be back.
Sorry.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'd just like to wish all of you and your families the merriest and happiest this holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
It looks like most people are taking their vacation early because there's absolutely nothing going on the roadways right now. No accidents to report, no backups. So for those of you who are going to work, well, at least you don't have to deal with the traffic this morning. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 44. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 45. And it's currently 39 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry, but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, although he wasn't scheduled till 7:35. State Representative Harvey Santana is here a little early. I don't know that you guys have an intro for him today, so we're just going to go ahead and go forward. As we are on our last week here at First Shift, I did offer up to our regulars, especially our monthly regulars, an opportunity to get on before it went off the air. State Representative Harvey Santana jumped at that, you crazy man, you. And so let me, brother, welcome you back. And, you know, we should probably start. The last time I saw you was a week ago yesterday. It was, of course, the big right-to-work battle. At one point, Anthony and I were standing out in front of the Capitol. I looked up, and I saw you and Representative Diane Slavens looking out the window. Can't even imagine what was going through your heads at that point.
Well, first of all, good morning, Tony. Good morning, everyone out there. God, what a week that was. Yeah, me and Diane, we were on our way to the restroom. That's the passageway to get there, and we saw everybody, so we felt obligated to try to pump the crowd up and get everybody going. But I was just completely taken back by the amount of people that showed up to tell Governor Snyder, you're wrong and don't cave. What are you doing? And just goes to show you, and I've been saying this all along, I had wish we had about 20 of those types of rallies in Michigan over the last 2 years. I think things would have been a lot different.
You know, let me I read an article. It just happened to be this morning. But I read an article that said the reason that Governor Snyder coalesced on right to work was because the Republican leadership, and I don't believe this part of it, but I think this is maybe a piece of it, that the Republican leadership basically went to him and said, hey, Rick, you don't sign right to work. We're not going to give you anything you want. If you really do want to run for reelection, we're going to make it as hard as we possibly can for you, and we'll have a smile on our face the whole time. I think that's part of the problem, but I don't think that's all of it.
I mean, Tony, there's a million stories in the Naked City. I mean, who knows what happened in the governor's office and the speaker's office? Who knows what kind of conversation took place? I mean, is that realistic scenario? I think that conversation has probably taken place at some level. But by the same token, I think that when Prop 2 failed, they saw the number spread. And they went back and said, if we're going to do it, we got to do it now. And maybe the people who were the biggest proponents of the anti-Prop 2 said, look, not only are you going to have a tough re-election because you're going to have people that are going to emerge as viable candidates on the Democratic side, but we're going to throw $10 million at you just to protect you because you're going to sign right to work.
And that very well could be, you know, the part of that scenario. We talk about that. We do know that the Koch brothers sent money into Michigan. We know that the DeVos family has spent millions of dollars in Michigan. And there are others. I mean, we're talking big, big money coming in from out of state, from in state. And of course, our side doesn't have the money to match it. But we have the people.
We have the organization. And look, if it comes down to money and organization, give me the organization every single time. Because an organization happens from the ground up. It's people who actually want to do something, not people that necessarily need to get paid to do something. And so I think now that organized labor has looked back, look amongst their ranks and ask a question. Who here really is with us? Because if you're not, we don't want nothing to do with you. If you're with us, then this is where we're headed. This is how we're going to be unified, and this is how we're going to move forward.
Well, let me – a couple things, and then I want to fast forward to Thursday. Number one, and I'm sure you saw that surrounding the Romney building at one point were the Michigan State Police with their riot gear on and the horses – and I understand there was a large crowd there. I understand that they were there to protest. That's right outside the governor's office, so people that don't know. But the governor's office is in the Romney building across the street from the Capitol. I thought it was overly aggressive. I thought it was terribly unnecessary. I didn't see any violence going on. I just saw voices raised, which is part of our First Amendment right. It got a little scary, to be honest.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that the Capitol, inside the Capitol, the crowd seemed light. I've been there when the first protests happened on the emergency manager law and the $1 billion cut to education. I was there and I saw all kinds of people in the rotunda. I mean, it was packed. This time around, it's like you needed a VIP tag to get into the Capitol. Then on the other side of it, to your point about the guards, I didn't see that many. Look, when that Koran burning preacher showed up.
Oh.
I mean, there was maybe 25 people in the crowd and they had all this security out there. For what? For what? I understand safety concerns, but horses, really? Riot gear, seriously? A tear gas? Come on. Come on.
Yeah, well, there are some of us, and call me a conspiracy theorist if you want. I honestly felt like they were provoking people, that they wanted there to be some kind of incident. Now, I don't count what happened with that tent violence.
Well, you know what's funny? Is that they wanted more security and they wanted extra precaution, but these are the same Republicans who are preaching everybody should carry a gun. What do you need all security for? You got one strapped to the side of your hip.
That's crazy. Let me again. I want to. We got a couple minutes before the break. Let me fast forward to Thursday. Thursday, you had a marathon session.
Yeah.
Started early, went all the way till 4:30 on Friday morning. When I got this number, it blew my mind. There were 243 pieces of legislation passed in lame duck. That is a record number by scores. I mean, no lame duck comes close to that. You and I have talked repeatedly in the past about the frustration of being in the minority. I can't fathom what Thursday night and Friday morning must have been like for you.
It was a lot of hurry up and wait. It was a lot of, what is this bill? What does this do? Looking on the computer, trying to read your analysis, understand what it is. Going along with the party line of, you know, we're not voting on this because let them put up the votes. It was a lot of emotion, a lot of frustration. You get to 5 o'clock, you know, you start thinking about traffic going home. Then you get to 7 o'clock, then you're like, all right, you know, we're going to be here for a while. Then you start hearing rumors, well, we'll be out by midnight. Then 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock hits. It's like, okay, why are we still here? And then you start seeing these controversial bills come up. Why are we debating this at 3 o'clock in the morning? And then by 4 o'clock, people are so on edge, wired up on coffee. It's like the last day of school when the fights happen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. So you have to like duck down in your seat to make sure, you know, you don't get the mashed potatoes.
Wow. I've got to give your colleague Lisa Brown, Representative Lisa Brown, credit. She did join us on Friday morning on very little sleep to talk about 5711. Which we're still anxiously awaiting to see what the governor is going to do. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk about some of this legislation. My guest again, State Representative Harvey Santana. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Stay with us. First Shift continues right after this.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
The roadways are starting to heat up this morning. Still no accidents to report, though, so that's good news. Slow-moving traffic I-696 westbound between 11 Mile Road and I-75. Also slow traffic on I-75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile Road. And heavy, heavy traffic I-96 eastbound between Wixom Road and Beck Road. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 44. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 45. And it's currently 39 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. It's been more than a month since Long Beach, California voters overwhelmingly approved a living wage ordinance, boosting the livelihoods of 2,000 of the city's hotel workers with $13 an hour, 5 sick days a year, and 100% protection for their tips. Leilani Albano reports.
You just stay like that. Just give like a half.
With a grueling campaign behind them, Long Beach hotel workers smiled and laughed as they posed for pictures for their campaign site. Measure N will serve as an economic boon by providing 2,000 hotel servers, housekeepers, and others a $5 an hour boost in pay from the $8 minimum wage they were receiving. Experts say the measure will add $7 million in yearly funding, as well as 85 jobs in the area. Reverend Nestor Jarente of Grace United Methodist Church was among those who campaigned for the bill.
64% of our voters in Long Beach expressed their commitment to make this city a place where people who work hard, particularly our hotel workers, are adequately compensated for their labor.
A coalition of progressive groups was integral to passage of the measure. They included labor unions, Filipino groups such as Anak Bayan Los Angeles, churches, LGBTQ groups, and politicians. Business leaders say the high cost of the initiative will drive hotels out of Long Beach. But Unite Here organizer Lorena Lopez Masumi says that the tourism industry has profited from the hundreds of millions of dollars in public funding it has received over the last decade to prop up hotels.
The city of Long Beach is a city that for many years have subsidized the hotel industry, and the community, the workers, have not received anything back from that investment.
According to workers' testimonies, hotels are employing a number of tactics to avoid implementing the new measure, which takes effect on December 21. For Workers Independent News, this is Leilani Albano in Los Angeles.
Stand Up Chicago released a new report Tuesday detailing the impact that poverty-level wages have on educational outcomes for Chicago kids. Stand Up Chicago's Elizabeth Parisian says that the report shows if you're serious about improving student performance, you should raise their parents' wages.
Low-income students face a number of challenges in the classroom, health problems, to having to move frequently, hunger, you name it, and those obviously impact their outcomes. So what we're seeing in Chicago is we have this movement to hold teachers responsible for these out-of-school factors like a parent's income. And so what our report finds is that if you simply raise wages for minimum wage and low wage workers, the most effective way to improve academic outcomes for CPS students.
The report found that to meet basic needs, a one-parent, one-child family needs $17.24 an hour in Chicago, double what many food and retail workers there earn.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Again, if you'd like to join me and State Representative Harvey Santana, feel free to do that. Can't imagine that some of you don't have some questions over this just expired legislative session. 888-552-3595. You know, Harvey, certainly we can go back, and we will, and talk about some of the legislation that did pass. Obviously, most of it without Democrats' support. But you know, we do have a different makeup in the House come January, and it does present some opportunities, does it not? I mean, there are going to be Republicans that are going to have to be careful how they vote. And because you did pick up, the Democrats did pick up five seats, that does work in our favor if leadership plays this right.
That's right, Tony. And I said this to my Democratic colleagues, and all, and it bears repeating. You either stand together or you hang separately. Benjamin Franklin said it. And I told him, you know, coming into the new legislative session, you're going to have a whole new crop of people that are going to come in. Every single one of them believes that they have a pathway to the governor's office or to become the next big whatever. And they have chartered a course for themselves. But as a Democratic caucus, if we don't stick together on critical votes and work as a team and force the Republicans to come back and negotiate with us on certain items, we're never going to do the work of the people that we were sent up here to do. Why? Because we showed them that it doesn't matter what we do. There's going to be at least three or four that are going to break from the pack, and all you got to do is give them a burlap bag of silver coins, and they'll do whatever.
Man, that's so true. Let's Governor vetoes Senate Bill 59 yesterday. I said this earlier today. There's no challenge in doing that. It was politically the right thing to do in light of what happened on Friday in Newtown, Connecticut. It was bad legislation. Then we're told this morning, and I'm not buying it, that that the legislature knew when they passed the bill the governor wouldn't sign it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't believe it is true. I think he originally was going to sign it, and then politically it becomes too hot for him to do that. Now they're saying, well, there's no compromise. I don't care. We don't need this bill.
Well, you know, Tony, I don't know if the governor's intention was always to veto it. If that's the case, I wasn't told, and I don't think any of my Democratic colleagues were told that. Maybe that's inside the Republican, you know, circle that was known. I will say that Senate Bill 59 was wrong. There's no need for it. If you go into a stadium, you ever gone to a football game, you got to get frisked. You got to go through a metal detector. People check you. Same thing with the Tigers, you know, game. You go into a school, at least I know in Detroit, you got to go through a metal detector to walk into the school. So I think that bill was a little too, number one. Number two, you know, my heart and my prayers go out to the people in Newtown who are just going through this absolute disastrous
tragedy.
You have
a daughter that age.
I mean, yeah. And so as a result of that, Tony, I could tell you this, and this is for the people to know. I've been thinking about this issue to such an extent that I picked up a phone and I called a Republican colleague who we'll identify later. And this Republican agrees with me. That we have to come up with a solution for the Newtown, Connecticut incident in Michigan. We're getting calls. We're getting emails. We're being asked a lot of questions by teachers and parents alike. So I asked my friend, I says, look, you take off the Republican, I'll take off the Democrat. We're not that. We're not politicians. We're elected officials. You're a parent. I'm a parent. We're two Americans, we're two Michiganians, we're people who are elected to do a job. Let's look at good public policy. How do we address that issue? You know, they agreed. And so what we're going to do over the course of the next couple of days is come up with what we believe is a good solution towards addressing the problem. Now, there's a balance, Tony. Miss McGillicuddy in the third grade doesn't want a 357 next to her Apple and her pencil sharpener. We've heard this time and time again from teachers, okay? And then we also know that Mr. Jefferson, the principal of the school, he doesn't want a submachine Uzi next to his golf clubs in the closet.
Right.
Okay? So that's one end of it. The other end of it is that we know that, you know, the right-wing, gun-loving Second Amendment preachers, they don't want anyone to take their guns away. Well, I don't believe that we need any new gun laws. And I don't think that adding new gun laws or restricting gun purchases is going to stop a potential Connecticut situation. I mean, look, let's face it. I could go anywhere I want pretty much in the state of Michigan and find an illegal firearm within 3 hours with no serial number. Just put me up to the challenge. I bet you I could find it, okay? And so that's not the issue. So what's the issue in the middle? Well, that's what we're going to work out. And we have a framework of ideas that I'll disclose with time. But I think we're on to something.
Well, good. This is not something that should be ignored.
No.
I mean, there's the precedence to be concerned about it. Did we think this would happen to kindergartners? No, of course not, Harvey. Why would we think that? I don't want people to think that way. At the same time, you can't ignore reality.
That's right.
And you have to respond to what you know did happen, not what you think might happen. And if it happened once, it could happen again. And you do need to be sensitive to that.
I mean, and I think what Newtown, Connecticut has raised to the surface is the amount of budget cuts that go into mental health services. The amount of need that there is to provide, you know, services to that population of people. The other thing, it also raised our awareness about, you know, gun issues in America. How much liberty do you require to have a sidearm? I mean, how much do you really need it as a society? And it's also re-engaged the debate about gun rights and whatnot in D.C. But what I don't want to be overshadowed is the lives that were lost as a result of our negligence and our unwillingness to either draw a line and say, this is enough, you can't have this, or draw a line that says, look, we're not cutting these services to this population of people that desperately need it.
Speaker Jace Bulger yesterday, when the governor vetoed Senate Bill 59, and I'm paraphrasing the quote, but he basically said that had this law been in place in Connecticut, it wouldn't have stopped this young man from doing what he did. That's what he was saying, and those are just, again, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. You know, a lot of other Republicans, either at the federal level or the local level, are saying, listen, evil will always find a way, Harvey. And that's probably true. I'm not disputing that that's not true. But that doesn't mean that we can't put procedures in place that addresses what we now know to be weaknesses.
Well, look, I mean, Tony, what's to stop two terrorists from putting C4 in their backpack and going through a subway and at the 3 o'clock blowing up this train and that train.
Nothing.
Okay. So what we're trying to do as legislators, what we have to do as a society, is think of the best possible prevention strategies we can to address the problem before it even happens.
You know, and I find it interesting, you're going to want to put your headphones on, we've got a caller, but what I find interesting, State Representative Harvey Santana, as we take a look at all of the things that are plaguing public education, an Oklahoma congressman, we just played this audio right
before. I heard
that. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we need to train teachers.
Come on.
Thank you.
Come on.
888-552-3595. Mark and Warren joins us now. Mark, happy holidays to you. Thanks for your call this morning.
Happy holidays to both of you, and thanks for taking my call. And, you know, I wanted to echo some of what you guys were saying. It's the mental health issues that we're really failing on. The budget cuts, you know, as a Detroit public school teacher, we have less and less social workers, less and less counselors to aid some of these people that really need the mental health services. But it's also the wraparound services. We used to help the families as well, you help them to help themselves. And we've really gotten away from that with the budget cuts. Started with Engler, and it's just really snowballed into a bad situation. And as teachers, you know, we're a social worker, we're counselor, we're teacher, we're mom, we're dad. We're just really bogged down. And, you know, I kind of agree with Representative Santana. It's not necessarily the guns. You know, and Tony, you and I disagree on that, and that's okay. But my concern really is the social services. We are so bogged down. By the time you deal with so many things, you hardly get a chance to teach.
No, I agree 100% with Mark.
Now, Mark, thanks for the call. Go ahead, Arvin.
Mark has hit it, the nail dead on its center. We as a society have made certain decisions as elected officials on our priorities. And while I disagree to these cuts, they still push them forward. Why? Because there's an ideological belief out there that people can manage their own problems. People can take care of their own problems. They don't need government in their life. And to a certain extent, that might be true. Okay, but there are other people that, Tony, they absolutely need the help. And as a taxpayer, I'm not concerned with spending money on families that need that type of help. If you show me the spreadsheets and you show me what people are getting, I'd probably be willing to pay a little bit more to help and make sure that people have the wraparound services, as Mark said, and make sure that they have the help that they require to make it day-to-day.
On Sunday, I had a conversation with a teacher. She's an elementary school teacher, Harvey. And she's in what's called a blended classroom. And what that means is she has regular students and special ed kids in the same classroom. One of her students is absolutely out of control. When he gets angry, he throws his desk. When there's a problem, she has to focus on him and only on him. She has 30 kids in this classroom. She's got to ignore 29 of them to deal with this one kid. They've taken away her parapros in the classroom. As Mark just said, they've taken away counselors and social workers. And what do we expect to have happen when this is happening in an elementary school?
We got to get to the break.
We'll comment on the other side. State Representative Harvey Santana. One more segment, folks. 888-552-3595. But we got to go. We'll be back.
Santa's got a little friend. His name is Dominic. The cutest little donkey.
Hi, this is Susan Gimes with Mercy Service, and I just want to wish everybody a happy holiday.
1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote,
It's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trujano.
In negotiating the deal with the state, the city was told to use Miller Canfield Law Firm. They had Miller Canfield on the state side and Miller Canfield on the city side negotiating this bond deal. Well, Tony, what typically happens when a municipality gets bonds from the MFA, negotiated bonds, they get that money. They get access to that money. But in this case, Tony, in this unique situation, the state said, I don't want the city to have access to its own money. This is the city's money. I'm a Detroit citizen. We're paying taxes or we're paying interest on that borrowed money right now, $137 million. But Dylan said, I don't want the city to have access to this money. Even the Michigan Finance Authority, Tony, said they didn't have a problem with the city having access to the money. It was Andy Dylan who said, I want them to have to come to me to get permission to use the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock, I want to remind you, Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor for the Detroit Free Press, in the next hour, as well as Lori Lamoran, the president and board chair of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan, in the next hour as well. But we still have State Representative Harvey Santana. I had to interrupt you before we went to the break, so go ahead.
Yeah, what I was saying is the classroom dynamics. You know, if you think about a classroom as an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and this class has 30 students, okay, what's going to happen in that classroom? And I think Mark, the teacher who just called, can appreciate this. You'll have, if you tell the students, okay, everybody, jump in the pool and swim to the other side of the pool as fast as you can, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have five of those students that are going to sprint, and they're going to swim to the other side of the pool as fast as they can, and they're going to achieve it without any type of problem. Then you're going to get another, I don't know, 15 that jump in the pool, and some are going to swim halfway, some are going to barely get to the end, and then they're going to start to drown. So somebody has to come in and rescue those students. Then there's going to be the remainder of this class that says, oh, heck no, I am not jumping in that pool. It's too cold. I don't know how to swim. I might drown. Then they're going to put up a big fight. Well, who loses in all of that? Well, the kids that swam as fast as they could to the other side and made it, and they're just sitting there waiting for everybody else. Those are your talented kids that now become student aides in the classroom that have to help the teacher rescue all of these kids that at some point are drowning so that the teacher can go back and focus their attention on those students that absolutely refuse to jump in the pool. And that's what a classroom has become. Now, imagine if you're in a classroom nowadays with 45 students with all kinds of issues ranging from what Mark described towards kids who are on the borderline of being very, very intellectually, you know, capable. They can't get the service, but this other one can't get the service either because the money's just not there because politicians decided to focus on other things.
And, you know, this goes back to just a fundamental understanding of teachers. You know a lot of teachers. Your chief of staff is a retired teacher. It's not their job. It's their life. And so when you are a teacher and you are faced with certain challenges in the classroom, a difficult child or children, class size matters. You know, that's the other thing. You've heard the national debate that class size doesn't matter. Michelle Rhee and the Students First are the biggest perpetuator of that lie. So we are not, you know, as we continue to defund education, and we've done a horrible job of it here in the state of Michigan, and I put some of that on Governor Granholm as well. She defunded a lot of especially higher education. When we take a look at the challenges that we have, this has nothing to do with the gun issue anymore. It has to do with how are we going to best serve the next generation of people that we're going to elect to the state house and the state senate, Harvey. Well, you know, this matters.
Tony, and we were talking about the break, everything has a value. There's a value to everything. And in government, we put a dollar sign in front of it. How much is public education worth to you? What kind of value do we place on it? Because there is no $15 Ferrari. It doesn't exist. You want quality public education, then you got to pay for it. Okay? And so when you look at a school, and I don't understand where education got so complicated. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's a teacher's job to teach. It's a student's job to learn. It's a principal's job to create the environment for teaching and learning to take place. And it's the parents, Tony, the parents' job to get that child prepared for learning. Okay? I have gotten to the point after 24 months of being a legislator that I think we are educating for the sake of doing it because we're constitutionally mandated to do it. Because if we're serious about education, then we need to get serious about funding it. Okay? Because in order to attract quality teachers, you got to be competitive on your salaries, number one. Number two, in order to get our kids to a point where they can compete academically with children from around the world, we need a core curriculum. Core curriculum. We need to have that. And we can't have old, dilapidated buildings with corridors of shame where kids are just not learning. We need to upgrade our schools. And, you know, the latest and greatest invention in public education now is this Emergency Achievement Authority. Yes. And I'll tell you, I've been to some of these schools, Tony. I got to be honest. I've been to four of them, and I'm going to continue.
Oh, you created a little controversy that's the right. Last time you were here.
Oh, that's right. I did, because it's my job. My job is to scrutinize. My job is to ask questions. And I walked in schools that were just, I mean, they were horrible, Tony. 2 years ago, these schools were just cesspools. And in 2 years, the environment has changed. Now, that doesn't speak towards academic achievement. It just speaks towards the environment. But the environment for learning takes place first before the learning can take place.
And also, let me make the point. What happened in those 15 schools? What happened, Harvey, is pretty simple. They put resources. See what happens when you put money into these schools?
That's right.
When you place the, this isn't about the Educational Achievement Authority. It's about doing the right thing.
And again, that debate's going to continue. That EAA couldn't get the votes in this session. It's going to come up next term. And it's something that I'm going to sit there and I'm going to look closely at because, Tony, at the end of the day, my job is to make sure that the children that I represent have a future.
Absolutely. Let me ask, because I don't know when you and I will get a chance to do this on the radio again, and maybe sooner, maybe a whole lot later.
Yeah.
It may be not at all. I don't know. I don't know what my future holds at this point.
None of us do.
You know what's coming up a little better than I do at this point. So, Representative Santana, let me ask you, what has that first 24 months been like for you? Has it gone by quickly? Are you looking back going, I can't believe 2 years has already passed?
You know, I hear the farewell speeches by the rest that are term limited out, and everyone says the same thing, that 6 years goes by quick. Tony, this has been two of the most grueling educational years of my life. It really has. Just to see the frailty of the human spirit, to see how weak people can be, how they cave under all of the weight of all of the pressure that they're you know, falling under, and just to see people make emotionally based decisions that they know are wrong, but they do it anyway because they think it's going to get them political points. To watch how deeply entrenched ideological values are in some people. And the unwillingness, the sheer unwillingness by the Republicans to really sit down and want to work with Democrats on good public policy. And we've agreed, and we've had this conversation many, many times in the past, term limits, ladies and gentlemen, it is absolutely horrible. It is absolutely horrible. I mean, there are some decent Republicans that I can have conversations with. And I think if we had, you know, 12 years as reps or something like that, we can really develop solid relationships built on credibility and trust and respect for each other to create good public policy. And those battles, they'll be there, but they're not going to be as intense and as vicious as they are now.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I think that with some of the quote-unquote extra time I have now, I think I'm going to try to spearhead an effort to eliminate term limits. I think it's time we do that. I think the electorate's ready to get rid of them after what we've seen.
It's horrible.
Harvey Santana, thank you so much for the last year and a half. It's been great.
Thank you, and I love you, everyone out there. I'm still here for you. Give me a call if you need anything.
All right. That'll do it for us in this hour. Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press on the other side. The news at the top. Then we'll be back. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that chooses the wish of Barney and Ben. We'll talk and we'll go for a walk at the hope of Janice and Jen. And now the
back and WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
We have an accident blocking your right lane, John R. Road, southbound before East Wattles Road. Also, two separate accidents reported on I-94 eastbound just before Baker Road. And we got a tip on the tip line that a vehicle is on fire. Gratiot Ave southbound after 14 Mile Road. Traffic is getting by on the left lane only. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 44. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 45. And it's currently 39 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim McLeshevsky. A major winter storm bearing down on the nation's heartland. NBC's Al Roker says widespread blizzard conditions expected.
We've got watches and warnings that spread across 16 states, from New Mexico all the way to Wisconsin and Michigan. We're talking about blizzard warnings in Colorado, Iowa, on into parts of southern Wisconsin.
Snow already piling up in the Rockies. Newtown, Connecticut continues to honor the victims of Friday's shootings that took the lives of 20 children and 6 teachers. NBC's Craig Melvin.
4 more funerals are planned for today. The contours of the policy debate are starting to take shape. Later this morning, the president expected to announce his next move.
President Obama naming Vice President Joe Biden, a longtime gun control advocate, to lead the effort to tighten gun restrictions. A public memorial today in Los Angeles for Jenny Rivera, the popular Latin singer killed along with 6 others in a plane crash in Mexico last week. This is NBC News Radio. An independent inquiry is harshly critical of the State Department for its handling of the September 11th attack on the consulate in Benghazi, Libya, that killed 4 Americans, including Ambassador Chris Stevens. NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
In letters to the House and Senate, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says she accepts every one of the panel's recommendations and has taken steps to improve security at high-threat posts. But the report found no evidence politics played a role in downplaying the terror threat.
Tax hikes and Social Security cuts, sticking points in the latest round of fiscal cliff negotiations. But both sides are giving a little, sparking an upturn on Wall Street. Stocks begin the day up 115 points. Futures point to a higher open. And that's Bud. No, that's Bud. A small brewery in the Czech Republic and the world's biggest beer maker are suing each other over the right to call their product Budweiser. Budvar and Anheuser-Busch at loggerheads over the lager beer. And talks to settle the dispute have broken down. I'm Jim Klishevsky, NBC News Radio.
Ugh. Hey, give me a hand with this giant slingshot, sweetie.
Okay, Mom, but what's it
for me to get to?
Sears!
Bring me something bad!
Whatever it takes, get to Sears' biggest one-day sale of the year this Saturday with Friday Preview. Find great gift deals like up to 50% off all tool storage, up to 70% off all diamonds, and 60% off coats, sweaters, and sleepwear for the family. This is how to gift. This is Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Tool storage savings range 5 to 50%. Next fall 2212.
What's better than one unlimited gift from Sprint? Two.
Buy one unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3, S2, or Victory phone and get the same model free after $50 mail-in rebate. Hurry into your local Sprint store or visit Sprint.com for details today.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees per line. Rebate via reward card. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
A charity called the Silicon Valley Community Foundation is now a major shareholder of Facebook. This after Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan donated 18 million shares worth about $500 million. 2 years ago, Zuckerberg signed the Giving Pledge, a public commitment to give away half of his wealth or more during his lifetime or upon his death. Penguin Publishing will end all agreements with Apple and other sellers of e-books that forbid price discounting. It's part of a settlement with the Justice Department. Penguin and four other publishers had been accused of conspiring with Apple to price fix e-books. Most of the other companies settled with Justice earlier this year. In the coming hour, we get the measure of new home construction for November. Economists surveyed by Market Watch predict a slide from October's strong reading of housing starts, chiefly because of the after effects of Hurricane Sandy. Ahead of that report, S&P futures positive by 3 points, NASDAQ futures up 10, Dow futures up 33. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to spend less time searching for new prospects for your business and more time selling? If you want to crush your sales quota for the end of this year and get a head start on 2013, then Hoover's has a special free offer just for you. Hoover's has the business contact names, business email addresses, and phone numbers to key decision makers at the companies you want most as clients. You can build a targeted B2B prospect list that will jumpstart your sales with just a few clicks. Hoover's is so confident you will be amazed at what this tool can do for your bottom line that they want to offer you 50 free B2B leads plus a 24-hour free trial. That's right. If you own or manage a business or sales team, get the competitive edge you need. Try it all for free. Just call 800-645-0338. That's 800-645-0338. Don't miss out. Call now. 800-645-0338. 800-645-0338.
Ugh. Hey, give me a hand with this giant slingshot, sweetie.
Okay, Mom, but what's it?
For me to get to...
Fear!
Bring me something back!
Whatever it takes, get to Sears' biggest one-day sale of the year this Saturday with Friday Preview. Find great gift deals like up to 50% off all tool storage, up to 70% off all diamonds, and 60% off coats, sweaters, and sleepwear for the family. This is how to gift. This is Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Tool storage savings range 5 to 50%. Next 12/22/12.
If you needed a brain transplant, would you go to the second best brain surgeon? No, you'd go with number one. Well, it's exactly the same with Printer Ink. Yeah, sort of. See, Staples is the number one ink retailer in America. And right now, get a $15 iTunes gift card instantly when you spend $75 or more on ink at Staples. It's a no-brainer. Staples, that was easy.
In-store only, ends 12/24/12. Gift cards not returnable. Returned ink refund amount reduced by gift card value. Excludes Epson inks, subject to availability while supplies last. No rain checks, limit to Apple not participating in...
It's the same each time with progress. First, they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It's 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 19th day of December 2012. And my oh my, how things have changed from just a week ago. Although some issues are the same, well, so much happened, as we just learned with our visit with State Representative Harvey Santana after we visited with Stephen Henderson last Wednesday. What happened? Well, Thursday, actually, and early Friday morning. What a historic day. Historic is not necessarily always a positive connotation. I just want to point that out. We've got a lot to get to in this first half hour, so why don't we go ahead and get an intro going and get this thing underway?
editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal, the Detroit Free Press's and First Shift voice of reason.
The Republican Party has now officially unmasked itself as primarily existing to protect the wealthiest Americans from any tax increases, as they don't appear to really have any other core principle that they're unwilling to bargain with, which is really disappointing because it's a party that has a very important and rich history and has a record of focusing on lots of different things, but it has been reduced to this one issue.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now is Mr. Stephen Henderson. A Merry Christmas to you, Stephen. How's that Christmas shopping going?
No, I finished all of my Christmas, well, I should say most of my Christmas shopping last night. I have one more thing to get, so I am ahead of the game this year.
Well, and you're a whole lot better off than I am, so I just Saturday's the day, and I know this for sure. I don't think everybody's going to be getting what's on my list, because I'm only willing to go so many places before I'm going to give up. You know, I think that the worst part, of course, is getting in and out of the mall parking lot. And then I say that, and then I remember, oh, every other year I've done this, Stephen. All the people that meander through the mall, like they've got nowhere to go, and it's the perfect place to sightsee.
It's terrible. I mean, historically, I have gone Christmas Eve to shop, because that's like when all the hardcores are out. You know, you don't get these people wandering around looking at stuff. Everyone on Christmas Eve is there to get something very specific and then get home. This year I'm ahead of the game, so I will not even be out there.
Well, my hat's off to you, sir. Okay, we have, you know, some might see this as a Christmas gift. The governor yesterday vetoes Senate Bill 59. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, of course, Stephen. It was the gun bill that has been the talk of the state since it was snuck in. But before we get to that veto, let's start with the veto. Here's one of the challenges I'm having this morning, as I spent a considerable, I'm going to tell you about an hour and 15 minutes this morning, seeing how journalists around the state were reacting to the governor's veto. I can't believe how many are already saying, well, there he goes. He's back in the middle. Governor Snyder's back. Hold on a minute here. It's one veto. It's one veto, folks.
Yeah, no, I don't think this puts him back in the middle. It puts him back, you know, in the world of the sensibility and rational thought, perhaps. I think he's backed into a corner here where there was absolutely no way he could sign this without becoming a national laughingstock, which, you know, I mean, I think he was aware of, and I think that had some influence over what he was doing here. But, you know, the governor also had some very specific asks of the Senate in particular about how this bill was supposed to be structured, and they didn't deliver on that. They didn't give him the parts of the bill that he had asked them to do. So he said no. So it does show, you know, that he's willing to, you know, to stand up to the most radical elements of his own party when they don't do what he asks them to do, but also when there's enormous the potential for enormous national pressure for going along. This would have been an embarrassment for him and for Michigan if he signs this legislation, you know, 3 days after what happened on Friday.
Well, you know, interestingly, I think you heard me just say, we just had State Representative Harvey Santana on, and it was suggested in the paper that the Republicans knew that he was going to veto this Thursday night because, as you mentioned, there were certain things in this bill that he wanted that weren't there. And although State Representative Santana said, "Hey, listen, I'm not in the majority, so there's a really good chance I wouldn't know this," but he said if we knew Thursday night, if somebody knew Thursday night that the governor had predetermined not to sign this, nobody in Lansing knew it at that point.
No, and you know, I talked to the governor at length on Friday about not just that bill, but, you know, a bunch of other bills that are on his desk, and he didn't give any indication that he had made up his mind. In fact, he got a little brusque with us about the fact that he hadn't seen all the bills and hadn't read all of them, and he wanted to do that before he made up his mind. Of course,
I also happened to be the governor when he saw what was going on in Connecticut. We were taping a television show, I think there was just like anyone else, he's a parent like I am and like you are, and you know, he's an American, and you know, I mean, there's no way you can't react to that kind of thing, and that it doesn't change your thinking about things. So, I mean, I'm certain that had a profound influence here. There are other things that the governor wants or wanted or said he wanted from the legislature but didn't get, and then went along anyway. I mean, right to work, he said for 2 years he didn't want to do this, but, you know, there it is on his desk and he signs it. So I think that it's the totality of the circumstances here that resulted in the veto, the specifics of the bill and the shootings on Friday really pushed him into a corner.
Well, Stephen, let's elevate the conversation now to a national conversation about gun control. Certainly, there are things that, and beyond conversation, that the legislature must do. The House of Representatives, the United States Senate, they need to start doing more than just talking about reform. They need to start doing something that actually starts to matter. Is it time for that? Is it time to move beyond conversation?
Oh, I think so. I think, incidents like this, of course, are the reason that policy gets made, and so often, and that's not a great thing, because, you know, this is not your typical incident. It's happened more frequently in recent years than we can all remember, but the tragedy, I think, of the gun problem in this country is played out every single day on a much smaller scale, and so it's sad that it takes something like this to move people to actually do something, but we'll take it, because, you know, we do have to have a conversation about that, and that conversation has to start with the idea, I think in this country you've got to have a conversation about what the Second Amendment means, and you have to be able to do that without threatening the idea of gun ownership, of legal gun ownership. I mean, there's no question that the right to bear arms is a constitutional right in this country, but it hasn't been treated like other rights in the Constitution, in the sense that you know, almost every other right you have in the Constitution is cabined by a lot of other things and weighed against other rights. There are lots of complex balancing tests that the courts perform to determine, for example, where my free speech rights end and where your privacy rights begin. We haven't gotten to that kind of sophisticated analysis of the Second Amendment because, there's a very powerful lobby that says it's an absolute right, don't mess with it. And so anything we do gets pushed back. At the same time, we need the kind of legislation that will make a difference. I mean, does it make sense, for example, to talk about banning or limiting handguns in a country where there are already 100 million handguns in circulation? As a practical matter, will that work? What you're trying to do is keep guns out of the hands of people who don't get them legally, and so that's a real challenge. And so you have to really think and analyze what will work here to accomplish what we want to accomplish, which is that when people go mad, they don't take out a school full of children. But also we want to deal with things like we deal with every day in Detroit, which is just this constant violence that's committed with guns that are not legally possessed.
Well, and then there's the whole conversation, you had hinted at it, the mental health aspect of this.
Sure.
That's a conversation well worth having repeatedly. In fact, we're going to have that conversation a little bit later on in the show today. And there's much more that is attached to this issue than just gun control.
Oh, sure.
And so we need to be very mindful. Steve, I'm going to ask you to stay where you're at. We've got to get to a break, but we'll come back. We've got some callers as well. 888-552-3595 is the number if you want to join us. I am Tony Trupiano. He is Steven Henderson. We'll take the break and be back right after we do this on First Shift.
It's the happiest season of all.
Hello, it's Lori Lamarin from Planned Parenthood, wishing all of the listeners a wonderful and blessed holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We have an accident blocking your right lane, John R. Road, southbound before East Wattles Road. Also, two separate accidents reported on I-94 eastbound just before Baker Road. And we got a tip on the tip line that a vehicle is on fire. Gratiot Ave southbound after 14 Mile Road. Traffic is getting by on the left lane only. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 44. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 45. And it's currently 39 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, my guest Stephen Henderson, editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal, seen Sundays on PBS. We go to the phones and welcome Tom in Detroit. Tom, thanks for your call this morning and happy holidays. What's on your mind?
Good morning to both of you. You know what? The governor made a lie out of me, and I don't mind being made a lie out in this instance, because I said when you look at all the legislation that has come across his desk that he signed, other than that voter suppression stuff, I just knew that if I would have betted money, I would have bet that he was going to sign it. But you know what, Tony, this was, I mean, when you're talking about guns on school property or in a school building, you've got a recipe for disaster, okay? Because, I mean, you know, let's go ahead and face it. Some of those folks who went out and applied for a gun license and all that kind of stuff, they may not necessarily have had a psychiatric background, but some of them are walking on the edge. And, you know, you never know, you know, what's going to flip a person's switch. And, you know, here they are in a school with half the power of God on their hip, and then they could just, you know, lose it. And, I mean, I've even heard this absurdity about, you know, having teachers, you know, strapped, okay? And I'm going like, no, teachers cannot be strapped. I'm saying to this point, you know, at times teaching can be very stressful, okay? And sometimes, you know, as obvious, it's been reported, some teachers, you know, they lose it at that particular moment. And if you got that gun in, you know, on your hip, you know, a whole lot of hell can break loose, and we'll have, God forbid, there'd be another massacre like it was up there in Newtown.
Absolutely. Tom, thank you for your call. Stephen, before we get to the next call, you know, I think Tom brings up some important points. I'll let you go ahead and comment.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we keep talking about this now in the context of schools and children and protecting kids in schools, and that's super important. I don't mean to diminish it, but I also want to sort of keep reinforcing that our major gun problem in this country is not about that. It is about the proliferation of guns in illegal hands that commit far smaller scale crimes every single day, and especially in cities like Detroit. You know, that's what drives crime here is the possession of illegal guns, and so you want to, I think, frame the conversation about solutions around the actual problem, not just the one representation of it that's gotten everybody's attention.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phones and welcome my good friend Jim Amar. Jim, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Stephen Henderson.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for taking my call. Stephen, I have an opinion. I don't know how valid it is, but, you know, I don't believe that if we had not had that terrible, terrible situation Friday in Connecticut and this bill was on his desk, I think the guy would have signed it myself. I don't know what you folks think, but I think because of the negative publicity and how everybody reacted to the incident in Connecticut, probably was a motivating factor for him to sign it. I mean, our legislature, to sit up there and put together legislation like that speaks of what their priorities are.
Well, Jim, I certainly think we know where you stand now. Absolutely. Thanks for your call. Go ahead, Stephen.
I think that certainly the governor would have been more inclined to sign it had this not happened. I think he made that clear with all the bills last week that he was thinking about them and he was looking at them. He did say to me Friday morning that this bill, his concern about this bill was that it solved one problem, the open carry issue, but that it had appeared to create a second problem, which was that you would be able to concealed carry in all kinds of places where you wouldn't want guns, like churches and schools. So that was already on his mind before this happened. Would he have signed it? I don't think we can ever know that, but we do know that he was thinking about this before, but that he was signing a lot of stuff that he said that, you know, personally he didn't necessarily agree with 100%. So.
All right. You know, Stephen, it's interesting. We're still waiting word on House Bill 5711. It's also been called the anti-choice bill. It really does restrict women's access to health care. It gets rid of something called telemedicine. It's sitting on the governor's desk. Immediately following you, as we do every week, we have Lori Lamoran on from Planned Parenthood of Michigan. Planned Parenthood is, you know, working diligently to provide affordable health care to men, women, and teenagers all over the state, and they've done a fabulous job at doing this. Unfortunately, that 3% of women that do use Planned Parenthood for abortion, they seem to have to carry that weight for every other issue. And I'm afraid that 5711 ignores lots of important realities, especially for women in our society.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a terrible bill, and would push abortion restrictions in this state to the limits of abortion restrictions nationally. I'm not sure, in fact, that it would pass constitutional muster because the extra burdens that it would put on women seeking to obtain abortions. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but you know, I think that it certainly brushes up against what the courts have said you can do. I'm concerned that the governor will sign that as much as anybody else is. Because again, I don't think he necessarily agrees with it, but he's shown in the last couple of weeks that he has said he's not in control of his agenda. That you know, the legislature has a big voice in shaping policy that maybe he doesn't agree with. So we need him to stand up one more time and say, you know, this goes too far. This is not what I think the law ought to be in a state like this. I don't want to send this message to women or to men or to anybody about what life here is going to be like.
Well, things have sure gotten complicated since the last time we met, which was just a week ago. I find it hard to believe how much changed literally in 1 week. And, of course, we had that marathon session that went Thursday all day, Thursday night, into Friday early morning at 4:30. God bless State Representative Lisa Brown, who even after, you know, driving in from Lansing at that time of the morning, still made a 7 a.m. call with us, which I appreciated a great deal. Yeah. I don't know that I would have done it, and we certainly gave her the chance to back away. But, you know, it really does show you, listen, either Republican or Democrat, and I think we need to make this point as we have to let you go. You know, there are some very good people that serve in this legislature. It's just become so divisive that we don't even know who they are anymore.
No, I think that's right. I think one of the things we ought to be looking at, in fact, is reforming the structure of lame duck sessions. I mean, there's no reason to even have those. You don't have to. We could change our constitution to prevent them, except for in cases where the governor needed something that to call them back for. That would put an end to a lot of this. I mean, it's just cowardly last-minute stuff that we don't – the legislature shouldn't be involved in. They just should not be able to do it.
Well, thank you for all of your service to this program. I don't know when we'll meet again, but I'm sure we will do it soon, and I hopefully will do it soon and not later.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thank you, Stephen. Absolutely. Great to have you on all these weeks. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press. We've got to take a break. Lori Lamoran. When we come back live in studio, stay where you're at. First Shift continues right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We have an accident blocking your right lane, John R. Road, southbound before East Wattles Road. Also, two separate accidents reported on I-94 eastbound just before Baker Road. And we got a tip on the tip line that a vehicle is on fire. Gratiot Ave southbound after 14 Mile Road. Traffic is getting by on the left lane only. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 44. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 45. And it's currently 39 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift
Weather. Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers.
Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
It's not easy to get in the face of power and defy the conventional wisdom. You can quickly get to feeling like B.B. King when he sings, "Nobody loves me but my mother, and she could be jiving too." Thomas Mann and Norman Ornstein know that lonely feeling. This pair of think tank political pundits has long been popular on Washington's insider talk show circuit as cautious middle-of-the-road voices of conventional thinking. But then, they went rogue. Recently, Mann and Ornstein charged that the elite media deliberately failed to cover the biggest 2012 election story of all, namely that the Republican Party and its nominees were flagrantly running a campaign of lies. The duo was surprisingly blunt, noting that the GOP was not just practicing politics as usual with a fib here and a prevarication there, but an orchestrated strategy of dumping bald-faced fabrications wholesale on the voting public. "It's the great, unreported, big story of American politics," said Ornstein. While the Democrats, too, tossed out some falsehoods, there was no comparison between them and the Republicans' ideologically extreme perversion of, quote, facts, evidence, and science. Yet reporters and their bosses, fearful of being accused of taking sides, failed to make a distinction, which, after all, is their job. "They're so timid," Mann said, "and a timid press is a weak one." "You're failing in your fundamental responsibility," Ornstein said of them, asking the obvious question, "What are you there for? Your job is to report the truth." This is Jim Hightower saying, as their reward for daring to tell the truth about the media's abject failure, Mann and Ornstein have been blackballed. They're no longer invited to talk on the insider shows, nor have those shows even mentioned the media's pusillanimous role in abetting the big lies of 2012.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I am Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
And it just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, "You're not going to steal this election from me." They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them one percenter sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310 WDTW.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back 35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday program. Well, unfortunately, lots of laughs for a little while anyway. Hopefully we can turn this thing around. But I've got to tell you, of all the things that I have done in my radio career, one of the smartest, if not the smartest, is partnering with Planned Parenthood to bring an uncommon amount of realistic education to an audience that was deserving. And I never expected the level of support that we have received since March when we started doing this segment with Planned Parenthood. And all of you have been so very supportive. And, yeah, maybe there was a little pushback at the beginning. Amazed how many people, especially men, came to appreciate what it is we did. My favorite is still the Ask Lori segment, but maybe in the future we'll have a chance to do it again. With that said, let's get an intro and let's get this half hour going.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, etc., that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity,
First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
And we welcome back the board chair of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan, Lori Lamoran. Lori, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays, sir. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm thinking that I need to go Christmas shopping in the next couple of days, or I'm going to have lots of disappointed people in my life, but we'll get to that. Listen, this has really been, I saw you last Tuesday up at the state capitol. You and I participated in a rally, and I first of all, I was so impressed by how you were able to engage a very diverse group of people. But Lori, I want to make the point that everybody that was there, I didn't hear one negative anything. Nobody booed. Everybody understood that this is really about human rights at the end of the day.
It was an amazing opportunity, and we, you know, there were folks even in our own personal camp that said, really, you're going to get up there in front of a bunch of union folks and talk about Planned Parenthood? They're going to be confused. And we had to let everybody know that there were other issues besides right to work that day going on, and why we were there. But, you know, it literally at the end of the day, there were more hard hats in Lansing that said, I stand with Planned Parenthood stickers on them. It was very fun, and we got a very warm welcome.
Yeah,
a
very warm welcome. In fact, the sea of pink was evident. Anthony and I stopped to get a bite to eat at one point, and half of the place we were in were
pink t-shirts. We love those pink t-shirts.
And then we had camped out for a little while at Progress Michigan, and of course, a lot of the staff, your staff was there as well.
We were.
Yeah, so I got to see lots of Planned Parenthood people. Let's talk about something that is critically important, and we've talked about it on the show exhaustively. Just had Stephen Henderson of the Detroit Free Press on the show talking about House Bill 5711. I don't even have to tell people anymore what that is. My audience now is so comfortable with 5711. No, maybe uncomfortable with what 5711 is. Stephen Henderson said it may be the worst piece of legislation to come out of this heinous lame duck session. I don't know. You're not going to certainly disagree with that. Where are we at with this? I know that you've asked people ad nauseum. You've begged people. You've been nice about it. Do we need to contact the governor's office? It's too late for the legislature. Do you feel like movement's going in the right direction? Is there a chance he may veto this?
I don't know. You know, you never know what this governor's going to do. I think if we've learned one thing, we've learned that unpredictability is what we can count on from him. But it does seem like he is considering very carefully the very in-depth and wide-ranging pieces of this legislation, because it didn't just regulate one thing about how we do abortion services. It regulated a whole host of things. And I think he's looking at it very carefully. And we've got good supporters of his calling that share our viewpoint and are saying, you know, you really want to look at this. So we'll see what happens. But I think that it would certainly be one of the most sweeping pieces of legislation about abortion in several decades, for sure.
Let me, and this is a big question, but I think it needs to be asked. What happens to Planned Parenthood if 5711 is signed by the governor?
Well, the very first thing we want to do is reassure everybody that the men, women, and teens that count on us every single year for the broad range of reproductive health services that we offer, that we're still going to be there. Very little of what we do will change, except that some of our health centers may have to be modified to meet some of the regulations in terms of becoming a freestanding outpatient facility, which is a real overreach in terms of what's necessary relative to the risk of an actual abortion procedure. But nonetheless, we may have to do some of that. You know, Planned Parenthood has always maintained only the highest quality healthcare. So we were already doing what some of the legislators believed wasn't happening appropriately. So a lot of our stuff won't change. What certainly will change, though, is having to document things differently, the possibility that, you know, we have to report abortions differently, that I believe could mean that women are identified. There's other things like that are troubling. But I think for the most part, what we do will remain the same. And we have to give a nod. The governor's administration actually really tried to make this a reasonable piece of legislation. But at the end of the day, there are things that we simply can't support.
And I know they did modify it a little bit from what we were protesting about this summer. We had your very good friend, State Representative Lisa Brown, on the show last Friday after that marathon session in the House. And as exhausted as she was, she still found time to come on and be an advocate. In fact, on Monday's show, State Senator Coleman Young came on and spoke passionately against 5711 as well. I've never really quite understood what the whole origins of 5711 was, except an opportunity for Right to Life to really push around a legislature that seems to be a lackey for everything the far right wants in this world right now.
Well, make no mistake, Tony, that the original version had one intent and one intent only, and that was to shut down health centers that provide abortion services. And I think the interesting thing on that is that's what we're seeing across the country. You can't overturn Roe v. Wade, they're thinking, so you just got to do it another way. And that was exactly what was intended. You know, make the regulation so onerous and burdensome and frankly expensive that the providers in the state aren't able to meet them, and then they'll just close their doors and we won't have to make it illegal. We'll just make it completely inaccessible. And that was the intent. And I think that, you know, I want to give a nod to the administration, but I believe that the reason the administration even blinked was because we got 50,000 Michiganders to contact state representatives, and, you know, more than 5,000 people turned out at the Capitol over 9 or 10 events over the summer. And I think the message was really clear. Women aren't going to stand for this sort of thing. And we reached out to our supporters and they responded. And then the governor and the governor's people had to say, oh, maybe we should be careful about this. But we didn't get to where we need to be. You know, they're making Michigan unable to use technology to extend our reach for reproductive health care in rural areas, especially in the northern part of our state. You know, they made sure that there were regulations that far exceeded what was actually necessary in terms of our physical plant setting, things like that, that we just can't get behind. And I think they're messing around in the relationship between a doctor and a patient. We want to make sure that women aren't coerced into abortion, but anytime you give a doctor a script about what they have to ask and how they have to interact with their patient, in spite of, and in any circumstance, so even patients that are in very dire circumstances where both, you know, the husband and wife, for instance, are there with a wanted pregnancy that has now a problem with it, et cetera, they have to go through, is anybody coercing you? And, you know, there's no judgment. There's no room for medical judgment. It's now, you know, a script of the state, and that's not appropriate.
And it is not appropriate. In fact, there's such a disparate group of people that are opposed to 5711, from medical associations to everyday activists, and a lot of people in between. And again, as we take a look at what's best for society, and we take a look at what our legislature's supposed to be doing, this is not somewhere, this is just not some place that they belong. And we'll point out, not that we should have to do this, but we'll do it anyway. The vast majority of the people that made this decision were men that never have to make a choice.
Interesting. And I thought the whole choice language was fascinating to me. You know, last Tuesday, as you said, when we were in Lansing, what the other side was saying was this was all about workers' choice, that right to work was appropriate because it was all about workers' choice and workers should have choices. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Workers should, but women shouldn't. You know, I think mucking around in people's private lives is, they're doing it selectively. And frankly, really what's going to happen is that, I don't know if you saw, Tony, after the election, Michigan's gender gap in terms of how women swung in the 2012 elections was, for the Democratic candidates, more than 20 points. And if you looked at unmarried women, it was closer to 40 points.
Wow.
So is that really a demographic that this legislature is willing to anger? I'm pretty incredulous. And I think, you know, we saw what happened in 2010 where people lashed back. And I think it's going to be the reverse in 14 unless folks get their wits about them.
We're coming up on the break here in just a minute. I want to share with you a quick story. As we of course, all ended our day with that rally that you and I were at, and I was walking with a couple, and this guy said to me, you know, everything was great except for that Planned Parenthood part. And I said, well, I'm 100% against abortion. I said, let me just ask you a simple question. What percentage do you agree with your union? And he said, oh, about 90% of the time. And I said, are you 100% pro-union? And he said, yeah. I said, well, only 3% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortions. Oh, I thought it was 97% of what they did. We have work to do, Lori.
We have work to do.
We have work to do. A quick break here. We will be back. This is First Shift. Feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Anthony from First Shift wishing our audience a happy and safe holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5022. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing, that they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. Just want to let everybody know, I just hung up on Mark in Birmingham, who is one of the most hateful, despiteful people that call this show, and I am not going to waste any time. In fact, I shouldn't be wasting this time. Mark, I hope you're pissed off at me. Lori Lamoran, my guest, she is the board chair of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan, as we have one more segment to work through. You have to feel, Lori, a bit empowered by how you have been able to energize men, but women. You know, people still are under this assumption that women are still too timid on these issues, that they're not as engaged as they should be. That all changed over the last 12 months in a fairly significant way.
It did, starting at the national level. And with our own national president who was stumping for President Obama and Cecile Richards. And you know, folks are thinking twice about making Planned Parenthood angry right now. And I think it probably started with Komen when had a misstep and our publics came out for us in ways that we were astonished by. And I think the attacks are, I really believe that it is about the demographic shift that we saw related to the election. But, you know, the 30-somethings and under, they don't care about this stuff in the same way. They absolutely have the attitude, ain't my business. And I think where people really got their dander up was when they started messing with birth control. So, yeah, you know, Planned Parenthood, they folks don't want to take us on right now. And they come out. We ask them, and they respond every single time. And that, make no mistake, that's why whatever bettering we had done with 5711, it was because folks spoke up.
And when the governor, if we have not pointed this out yet, he has not signed it yet.
He has not signed it yet.
So it is not law.
Nope.
And we can still be hopeful that he will veto this piece of legislation. He also has line item veto power as well. The trouble with 5711 is I don't know how you do some and not all.
Well, he can't. 5711 was presented as one bill.
So it's not an omnibus.
No,
okay.
It is an omnibus.
It is an omnibus,
He can't veto just part of it. So if he's got problem with part, that actually works in our favor this time, Tony. If he's got a problem with just part of it and loves the rest, if he's got enough of a problem, he'll have to use the veto pen, and that's certainly what we're hoping for. And we're suggesting that folks really have stood with Planned Parenthood, give the governor's office a call, 517-373-3400, and let him know that we think this shouldn't become law.
Give that number out one more time.
517-373-3400, 3400. And I think, you know, just make your voice heard.
You know, I trust that you're going to be fair. Is there any part about this bill that strengthen women's access to health care?
You know, I think, Tony, Planned Parenthood really does not in any way, shape, or form oppose appropriate guidelines so that bad actors can't be part of offering abortion services. We are very much there. But there's ways to do it with experts and in a way that really does make the regulations match the risk of the procedure. And that's simply not what happened here. So I think, no, we would back a lot of this. And there wouldn't have to be sweeping giant changes for us to really feel like it was okay thing.
Well, we keep on hearing the word overreach. Not necessarily with this, but this legislation certainly would be overreach. We were hearing it that right to work was overreach. I gotta tell you, one of the most profound things that I've heard in the last 2 weeks was this choice argument that you made earlier. It, you know, right to work was about choice, but, you know, let's not give women a choice. I mean, that's a profound argument. I think that somebody needs to call the governor's office. Maybe it'll be me as soon as I'm done with the show. And tell them that. If you really do believe in this kind of choice, then let women have the choice. Don't sign, you know, HB 5711.
Right. And before we leave today, Tony, I'm going to take some time from you here. You know, the National Office of Planned Parenthood knew about what you did. And yesterday, you aren't going to share it, so I'm going to. Our national president, Cecile Richards, sent you an email that I want to read on the air. And what she said was, when it comes to reproductive freedom, it's rare to find a voice that's willing to stand up for women, men, and teens who rely on Planned Parenthood for quality, affordable care. In Michigan this year, that voice has been you. In the face of unprecedented attacks from the Michigan legislature, you've been an unwavering in your commitment to women's health care, your support of abortion rights, and your fight for equality. I wanted you to know that nationally, your efforts have not gone unnoticed. Thank you for a great year of education, conversation, and debate about issues of reproductive justice. You're a gift to those in Michigan who trust and care, who trust their health care to Planned Parenthood. Sincerely, Cecile Richards, Planned Parenthood Federation of America President. Thank you, Tony.
Well, you know, I don't blush easily, but I'm doing it now. So, you know, the two favorite people in my life were my mom, who's no longer with us, and my wife, who is with us. And I just honestly believe that we continue to disrespect women in the most fundamental ways in this country. And I've said this to Desiree Cooper, who's sitting in studio with us many times. I have gotten much more out of this than you guys have.
Well,
truly have.
It's been an honor. It's been an honor. And for us to have a forum where we really can tell our whole story and have people understand just exactly who we are to women, It was an incredible opportunity, and we cannot thank you profusely enough.
Well, and I appreciate that. I tell you, one of the things that's really motivating me to try to find a new path is so that I can continue to do the work that we are doing together. I think that we need to continue to do this. When you run into grown adults that think 97% of what Planned Parenthood does is what they don't approve of, and when you can prove to them otherwise and it changes someone's mind, that's significant.
It's totally significant, and I think you've helped us do that this year. Lots of the Republicans have helped us do that this year, frankly, as well, but you really have given us a stage, and there are lots and lots of good listeners out there who now know differently about what Planned Parenthood is.
We shouldn't make light of what actually the Republicans have done to help the cause of women's reproductive freedom, both at the federal level and at the state and at the local level, for that matter, because they have been such consistently good liars that we have been able to present facts that we can put in their face that say, okay, fine, we're going to challenge you. And, you know, who better to do that than Planned Parenthood? I'm not saying this is a fight you guys wanted, but man, oh man, when it came to you, you took it and you turned it around. Well, you should be very proud of what you've done.
There's nothing, you never get a group of women together with a like-minded attitude and expect us to take it without lying, what is it? Not taking it lying down. It's
right.
Not going to happen. I mean, we're going to go swinging for sure. And I think in this case and in a lot of ways this year, we didn't end up on the ground. Actually, we won, you know, and people get it differently, and we're thrilled.
I think that, God forbid, even if 5711 does get signed by the governor, that this is just the beginning of what are going to be many, many battles to come. And, yeah, I'll just say it the only way I know how. You pissed off the wrong group of people, not just women, but Democrats and progressives and people that care. Lori, thank you so much for everything, and especially your friendship.
Thank you for the nice basket and
the pin. I'm going to put this on every suit. I'm going to wear this everywhere I go. My Planned Parenthood
pin.
Absolutely. Love you both. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tony.
Quick break for the top of the hour. Much more to get to in the next hour, including, ladies and gentlemen, do video games share in the problem that we're seeing with all of these mass shootings? Have we desensitized an entire generation or two? Well, get that perspective when First Shift continues after this top of the hour break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
We have two separate accidents reported, I-94 eastbound before Baker Road. Also, there's a vehicle on fire, Gratiot Ave southbound after 14 Mile Road. Traffic is getting through in the left lane only. And we have a disabled vehicle blocking your left lane, I-94 eastbound before I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 44. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 45. And it's currently 39 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, now on for four full hours from 6 to 10, Monday through Friday.